Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Handle. How many of you have ever been there? I know I have. Amen. The circumstances just feel overwhelming. So we've all been the underdog, but the good news is that there is hope. Hallelujah. So we're in the series titled Hope is Here, and we have looked how there is hope for the weary in Jesus as he invites us to come to him and find rest. And then last week we saw that there is hope for the broken because Jesus loves broken people and he offers the grace to heal and restore our lives. If you missed either of those messages, I encourage you to go back on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel and catch up. I believe it will be a blessing to your life. But today we're talking about hope for the underdog, and the Bible is filled with stories of underdogs who become overcomers with the help of God. But perhaps the most popular, most famous underdog story in the Bible is the story of David and Goliath, found in 1 Samuel 17. Now, I'm going to summarize the story because of the length of the story, and I'm just going to read portions of the scripture. So the Philistines and the Israelites were gathered for battle on the opposite sides of the Valley of Elah. And the Philistines sent out their undefeated champion, Goliath, who was 9 feet tall, covered in bronze armor from head to toe, and carrying a spear that the Bible says was like a weaver's beam. The spearhead alone weighed 15 pounds. So he has the latest body armor. He has the latest, greatest weaponry that you can have. And he is undefeated. And he has been taunting the Israelites for 40 days to choose a man to come out and fight against him, because that was a popular practice back then, that one army would have their champion come out, the other army would have their champion come out, and they would fight. And so he was saying, pick a man, send him out, let him fight. And the fight was to the death, and it was a winner-take-all challenge. Whoever won, that army was the victor, and they would take the others captive. So the Israelite army was terrified. No one was willing to come out against this giant Goliath. Until David, a pipsqueak teenager who was between 16 to 18 years old, came out on an errand from his father to bring food for his brothers. And he heard Goliath's challenge, and he was astonished that none of God's people, none of Israel, was willing to fight him. And so he says in verse 26, who is this pagan Philistine that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Basically, he's saying, if you guys had faith, why don't you rise up and fight against him? How come you're allowing him to defy the God that we serve? So David himself, this teenager, unproven in battle, volunteers to go out against the giant Goliath. But everybody, even his own brothers, discourage him because they discounted him, basically saying, you're just a kid. Go back to keeping your sheep and playing your music. You're arrogant if you think you can fight this giant. But the word got to King Saul, and he sent for David, because, you know, not even King Saul was willing to go out. He's looking for an alternative here. So he sends for David, and we pick up the story in verses 32 through 34. It says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. He told Saul how, while keeping his father's sheep, he had fought a lion and a bear with his bare hands, and how God had delivered them into his hands, and that same God will deliver this Philistine into my hands. Hallelujah. He was just declaring in faith, speaking in faith. Amen. Well, Saul, I guess, gave in, and he didn't have any other alternative, no other choice. He gave in, and he even offered to give David his armor, but Saul was a tall man. David was a short boy, so it didn't fit, because you can't fight in somebody else's spirituality. Amen. Amen. God has provided to each of us a suit of armor, a spiritual suit of armor. We got to have our own armor to fight. Amen. We can't fight in somebody else's armor. So Saul's armor was too big, and David said, I'm not going to wear it. David went out against Goliath with only a slingshot and a handful of stones, protected only by the covering of God. And when Goliath saw him, Goliath laughed him to scorn, saying, am I a dog that you come out against me with a stick? I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds and the animals of the field. We come to the culmination of the story, the highlight in verses 45 through 50. Read it with me. David replied, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. David's saying, you are armed to the teeth. You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you, not with a slingshot and a stone. I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Hallelujah. David was saying, you're not fighting against me. You're fighting against God. Hallelujah. And David goes on in verse 46, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. I'm praying for such a manifestation of God in these last days through his church that the whole world will know that there is a God in the midst of his people. Amen. Hallelujah. That's an extra sermon, no extra charge. Verse 47, the scripture says, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. That is the Lord. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone. He hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank, because it was propelled not by pipsqueak David's strength. It was propelled by the mighty arm of God. Amen. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistines with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. This is a true story of an underdog. Amen. Everyone counted David out. His own brothers, King Saul, the soldiers, and even Goliath. They all thought, this kid is crazy. He's nuts. Who does he think he is? David was just a teenager. He was not strong enough. He had no battle experience. He had no armor. He had no weaponry. He had no equipment to fight against Goliath. And he was facing a seasoned warrior with the latest armor, with the latest weaponry. He was facing the undefeated champion of the Philistine army, and yet David won because he stood against him in faith, believing that God would fight on his behalf and that God would give him the victory. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And that's exactly what God did. Praise the Lord. So this is a story of hope for every underdog. And I believe it will help us to become overcomers by standing in faith in God. The first thing I want us to be reminded of is that life is filled with battles that are too big for us. Life is filled with battles that are too big for us. And we are often unprepared for life's battles. David never expected to fight a battle when he brought lunch to his brothers that day. He was just running an errand for his father to deliver food to his brothers. And just hours before facing Goliath, David was keeping sheep on a Judean hillside. Maybe he was playing his harp, singing songs of worship to God because David was a musician and a worshiper. And now suddenly he finds himself on the battlefield facing the giant Goliath. He didn't expect it that day. And you know what? Life can change in an instant for any of us. We're going about our daily routine when unexpectedly we find ourselves in a battle for our lives. Amen. Maybe, you know, you're going along thinking everything is fine in your life and you suddenly discover that your spouse has been cheating on you. Or you pick up the phone and you're told that your son or daughter was in an accident and they're in the hospital battling for their life. Or you suddenly find yourself in a health battle for your life. We didn't go looking for a battle. We didn't expect a battle. But suddenly we found ourselves in the midst of a battle. We suddenly find ourselves thrust on the battlefield of life, facing a situation that is bigger than us. Because we are all underdogs on our own. We're all underdogs on our own. In those moments, we have to make a choice. We have to decide, how are we going to respond to this overwhelming circumstance? Will we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the situation? Will we allow ourselves to give in to despair and defeat? Or will we trust God to give us the strength to fight and to fight the battle for us and give us the victory? At 3 a.m. on Thursday, December 18th, 2021, my mom was rushed by ambulance to the hospital, experiencing dizziness, extreme disorientation, memory loss, confusion, and unrelenting nausea. They did a chest x-ray. They ran some blood tests. They told me nothing was wrong with her, despite the fact that her blood pressure was 210 over 109. They wanted to send her home. I said, you cannot send her home in this condition. They said, they did a COVID test. They said she didn't have COVID. They said, nothing's wrong with her. And so I said, something is wrong with her. You cannot send her home. They said, we'll keep her overnight. So I kept her overnight. The next day, I was there from in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The nurse comes in the room and says, guess who's going home today? My mother's circumstances, symptoms, exactly the same, no change. They had done nothing for her. I said, how can they be sending her home? And the nurse looked at me, and I could tell from her face she didn't agree with it, but she said, doctor's orders. So I said, I need to speak with the doctor. So she started calling. For an hour, he would not respond. And so finally, she came back and said, I get no response. So there was a number on the wall that said, if you don't think you're getting the care that you need, call this number. So I called the number. It was for the hospital administration. I explained what was going on. Within 5 minutes, the doctor called. So I told him, I'm not an aggressive person. I'm not a fighting person, but sometimes you got to stand your ground. Amen. And so I told him, there is no way you can send my mom home, etc. And I explained the situation. And he said, nothing's wrong with her. And I can't justify keeping her here. I said, something is wrong with her. Well, he went on and on. And then finally he said, I'll come in the morning and see what's going on. So now she has to wait another day. He finally came the next day, and he's given me some runaround, that she has rapid onset senior dementia or something like that, that when a rapid onset hospital dementia for seniors or something along that line. And he said, when a senior is in an unfamiliar place, they suddenly lose their orientation. That was not my mom. My mom was sharp, my mom was sharp. And so I said, that is not my mother. I said, and she's been in the hospital just last year, just a few months ago, and that never happened to her. I said, there's something wrong with her. Look at her blood pressure. She has constant nausea. She can't keep anything down. She's weak. She can't sit up. She can't stand. So I believe the Lord put in my heart at that moment that she had had a stroke, even though she had no physical deficits. So I said, she has had a stroke. And so I said, she hasn't had any stroke. There's no physical deficits or anything. I said, I believe she's had a stroke. So a few moments later, he brings in a neurologist. And the neurologist starts with, she hasn't had a stroke. She doesn't have any physical deficits. There's no weakness on one side. He said, but we did see that she has a slight UTI. So that could be causing the symptoms. I said, she has had a UTI before. That's never caused symptoms like this, And so I stood my ground again, and finally they said, we're going to order a CT scan. Well, when they did the CT scan that evening, we got the results the next day when the doctor apologized. They did a CT scan, and her carotid artery was torn and had released a blood clot to the brain that had been bleeding for 3 days in her brain without them doing anything for her. And so even though she didn't have any physical deficits as far as, no paralysis on one side of her body, it did leave her with a lot of mental deficits, easy confusion, tremendous memory loss. And she was in a very weakened physical condition when she finally came home. And as her primary caregiver, I initially felt so overwhelmed, thinking, how am I going to do this? I'm the only one. How am I going to do this when she comes home? But I had to make a choice to trust God. And in those first days, an old gospel song kept coming to my heart that says, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking for you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. I hadn't heard that song in probably more than 20 years, but I woke up that morning, and for the next several days, it was just stirring in my spirit, and I knew that it was the Holy Spirit ministering to me. And I determined, okay, Jesus, it's just me and you, and I'm going to trust you one day at a time. Amen. And every morning I'd wake up and say, God, give me the grace and the strength to do what I need to do today. You see, God is faithful, and he was faithful. He was faithful to the very end when she finally went home to be with Jesus. But life's problems are often bigger than us, and they can feel overwhelming. And they can threaten to defeat us. David had many times when he felt overwhelmed, and he had to make a choice to trust God. He writes about one of those experiences in Psalm 61, verses 2 through 4. He says, from the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety. See, a rock speaks of stability, that which is unchanging. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. David knew where to run. He knew where to turn. When life was overwhelming, he felt overwhelmed just like we do, but he chose to respond by turning to God in faith, and he found the help and strength to face the problems, to face the giants that were before him. We all face giants in our lives, problems and challenges that are so big that they overwhelm us, but we have to choose in that moment how we're going to respond. We have to choose to respond in faith. And when we make that choice, we will find that when God is for us, it doesn't matter who or what is against us. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. When you feel overwhelmed, remind yourself of how God has helped you overcome in the past. David remembered how God had enabled him to fight and defeat a bear and a lion with his bare hands while he was keeping his father's sheep. So because God had given him those victories in the past, he was confident that God would also give him the victory in the present, that God would also deliver this giant into his hands. You see, God's faithfulness in the past gave him confidence in the present. See, what God has done in the past is the best predictor of what God will do in the present and in the future. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Remembering what God has done for us in the past encourages our faith and gives us the confidence and hope that he will help us in the present. Hallelujah. A writer by the name of Michelle Johnson says sometimes we need to take a look at where we've been with God to really understand his faithfulness and love for us. She was staying with her son at the hospital following a serious surgery. And on that particular morning, she was exhausted by their stay. And her steps were slow as she made her way to the cafeteria for breakfast. While waiting on the elevator, she realized she was on the 6th floor. The view out the window of the concrete roof held special significance for her because it was the same view that she had seen many times before when years prior she was in the same hospital for 6 weeks after a car wreck, not expected to make it. The doctors said she would never walk again normally, that she would have severe arthritis within a year, that she'd have to have a hip replacement within 5 years, but she chose to trust God, and by God's grace, none of what the doctor said was going to happen, happened. Hallelujah. Now, 35 years later, with her son in the hospital, the memories of God's faithfulness to her gave her the strength and the confidence to trust that he would be faithful now with her son. Remembering what God has done for her in the past encouraged her faith in the present. When you are facing a battle too big for you, remember that God has been with you and God fought the battles for you in the past and he will fight the battle for you now. Hallelujah. And if you can't think of any significant memories of what God has done for you, then borrow the memories of other people. Borrow the testimonies of Scripture. Amen. Remember how he delivered the children of Israel from slavery into Egypt. Remember how when they came up against the Red Sea with a mountain on the left and on the right and Pharaoh's army pursuing behind, God moved and he opened the waters of the Red Sea and they marched across on dry ground. Remember how in the wilderness when they cried out that they had no food, God sent manna. When they complained that they had no water, he caused water to flow from the rock. Hallelujah. And he supplied for them for 40 years. Remember how when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire, oh, a fourth man like unto the Son of God appeared. Hallelujah. And he loosed them and they were brought out of the fire without even the smell of smoke. Hallelujah. Remember how Daniel was thrown into a lion's den, estimated with over 200 lions, hungry, hallelujah. But God sent an angel in the night to stand between Daniel and the lions. And the next morning, the king of Persia came and said, oh, Daniel, hallelujah, are you still there, man of God? And he said, I'm still here because my God sent an angel, hallelujah. Remember how at midnight, Paul and Silas were in stocks in the prison. They had been beaten, but they chose to sing and give praise unto God. And an earthquake came and God set them free. Hallelujah. Let their stories remind you of the greatness and the faithfulness of the God that we serve. Draw strength, draw confidence from their stories. Hallelujah. There's a praise song that was popular a few years ago. I won't tell you how long ago because it'll date me. Amen. Hallelujah. But it was titled Bigger Than Any Mountain. And the first verse says, I think I was in youth group when that song was popular. So it must have been just last year. Hallelujah. The song was titled Bigger Than Any Mountain. And it says, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Because so many things in life we cannot see. Amen. They come suddenly. It goes on to say, bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And I want to tell you today, child of God, whatever mountain stands before you or whatever mountain may come upon you suddenly, you can't see it at present. God is still bigger. God is still bigger. He is still greater. Hallelujah. And he is able to deliver you. Praise the Lord. We need to remember that our God is bigger than anything we face. And when we feel overwhelmed, we need to remember that he has promised that the battle is the Lord's. It belongs to him. King Saul tried to give David his armor, but it didn't fit. And David goes out against Goliath with just a slingshot and five stones. Goliath laughed and mocked him to scorn. But David declared, you have come out to me with sword, spear, and javelin. You've got every weapon available at the time. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army. David was saying, he's all I need. You got all your stuff, but he's all that I need. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David saying, you messed with the wrong God. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And David goes on to say, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, and not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle. And he will give you to us. David knew that he was no match for Goliath. David was a short kid. He knew he was no match for Goliath. He knew this was a battle that he could not fight in his own strength or ability. He knew that this was a battle that had to be fought by faith. And he said, this is the Lord's battle. As long as we're relying on ourselves, then the only strength we have is our strength. But when we say, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. I can't, but you can. Lord, I'm trusting in you. And when we do that, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Hallelujah. That's when God manifests his strength. Praise the Lord. And so with one stone, And with one throw, here's this giant covered from head to toe with bronze armor. There's only one open spot on his forehead, one vulnerable spot. And David takes that one rock with his slingshot. You know, today we have GPS-guided missiles, right? They program in certain coordinates. They fire the missile, and then the GPS coordinates guide the missile to its target. Well, back then, this was a God-guided missile. Amen. David didn't need GPS for his rock because God was guiding the rock. David pulled back, released it, and God guided it to the one open spot, and with such strength that it embedded itself in his forehead, and it was a knockout blow. Hallelujah. With one stone, with one throw. Hallelujah. With God's power behind that stone, the giant fell to the ground. And it turned the tide of the battle for Israel and gave God's people the victory. When we feel overwhelmed by battle, it's a reminder, as Paul says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not fleshly. They are not within our power, but they are mighty through God. Hallelujah. We cannot fight the battles of life with natural means. We must fight them spiritually. We must bring our battles to the Lord in prayer. We must surrender our circumstances to God and ask God to intervene on our behalf and stand in faith. Because God stood against the giant, because David stood against the giant Goliath in faith, God fought on their behalf. God gave him the victory. And the Philistine armies turned to flee, and the Israelites rose up and began to pursue, killing many of the Philistines and plundering all of their supplies. I want you to see something here. David's one act of faith gave hope to the rest of the Israelite army. For 40 days, they had been trembling in their trenches. But David, this little kid, stood up in faith, and God showed up on his behalf, and it encouraged faith and hope in the rest of the Israelite army. When you're facing a battle, you don't know who's watching you, but when you stand up in faith, somebody else is going to be encouraged. Somebody else is going to be ministered to. Hallelujah. That's why it's also so important to be a part of a spiritual family. You know, last week I came to church 2 days after my mom passed. One reason is because I am a very committed person, but more than that, I came because I needed to be in the fellowship of the saints. I came because I needed to be amidst a loving community and a faith-filled people, because it ministered to me as much as I ministered to you. We need the family of God. Because when you feel hopeless, all it takes is one person standing in faith. When you feel like you can't go on, all it takes is one person who believes that God still answers prayer. When you feel like you can't stand any longer, all it takes is one person who is willing to stand in faith and expectancy for God to do what only God can do. Hallelujah. When you feel in despair, all it takes is for one person to testify of what God has done for them, how God healed them, how God provided for them, how God did a miracle for them, how God came through for them, how God answered their prayer. And when you hear that testimony, it encourages faith in your heart. Hallelujah. And that person's faith can encourage you to stand. That person's hope can spark a fire that spreads throughout an entire congregation. And you may be that one person for somebody else. And even though you may not be able to see, or you may not know how God can come through in the circumstance you face, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing in the face of impossibility that with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. And now when all of us start operating in faith, we are going to see God do incredible things. And it's going to touch many lives, just like David's one act of faith touched the entire Israelite army. When we stand in faith, when we fight in faith, we are going to see God move, and we're going to see the lives of many other people touched. I want to ask you today, what giant are you facing? Are you feeling overwhelmed by your life and circumstances? Life's battles are often too big for us. We are all underdogs, but with God's help, He will make us overcomers, more than conquerors, as we trust in Him. We can all have that hope, but it starts with a relationship with God, just as David had a relationship with God. And a relationship with God begins by coming to Jesus in faith and repentance. So if you're here today and you have never personally placed your faith in Jesus and repented of your sins, in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so. Because you see, we are all sinners, and sin separated us from God. It cut us off from God. That's the whole reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth, that He lived a sinless life, and He offered His life as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He paid the penalty for sin that we deserved. And so now, when we place our faith in Him as our Savior, and we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we turn away from our sins saying, I know I've been heading in the wrong direction, been living life my way without regard to God, and I know that this path leads to destruction. I turn away from that. I ask you to forgive me, and I turn to you in faith. The moment we do that, Jesus says we're born again. We begin a spiritual life where the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and help us from that moment forward to live a life that's honoring to God. And so if you're here today or you're listening online and you have never personally placed your faith in Christ or repented of your sins, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. And if you want to receive Christ as your Savior and begin a lifelong relationship with Him, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we believe that He died for our sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sin. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me. I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to be the first to congratulate you and welcome you to the family of God. You just made the best decision of your life, and you will never regret it, and we welcome you to the family of God. We want to ask you, if you just prayed that prayer, if you would just take a moment to text the words, I prayed, to the number on the screen or online, type the words, I prayed, in the comments, because we would like to send you free of charge a little booklet to help you understand the prayer you just prayed and how to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord, because that prayer was a beginning point, not an ending. And we want to help you to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord. So if you would, if you're in person, just text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online, type I prayed. A little later today, you'll get a response message with a link. Click that link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send you this little booklet free of charge to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. But once again, congratulations. You just made the best decision of your life, and we welcome you to the family of God. Amen. We do want to encourage you. Amen. We want to encourage you, along with every believer, to do three things regularly that will help you grow in your relationship with God. One, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Start by thanking Him for all the good things in your life, because the Bible says every good thing comes from Him. Thank Him for health, for strength in your body, for food, for clothing, for your job, for your family, for your home, for your friend, every good thing in your life. And then talk to Him about whatever you're going through, whatever problems you may be facing, whatever needs you may have, whatever decisions you may be making, and ask His help. At a very basic level, that's prayer. Talk to God every day. He loves you. He's your Heavenly Father, and He wants to have a conversation with you. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And you say, how does God talk to us, Pastor? Many ways, but the number one way is through the Bible. That's his message to us. If you don't have a printed Bible, I encourage you to download the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet. It's free. There's never a charge. You can read the Bible as often as you want without charge. I encourage you to start in 1 John. It's a short book in the New Testament which tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us to better understand the prayer you just prayed and what has happened in your life. Do that every day. Let God talk to you. And then thirdly, find a local Assembly of God church. If you're in South Florida, of course, we would love to have you as a part of our New Life family. We have a wonderful church family that will walk alongside of you, pray for you, support you, and encourage you. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then we encourage you to find an Assembly of God church near to you and get connected. Don't just attend services, but put down roots, connect in relationship, because it is those relationships in the body of Christ that support us, encourage us, and can help us to continue to grow. But we welcome you to the family of God. As we close out, I want to talk to those of us who are already believers, and I want to ask you again, what giants are you facing? I believe there's many people here and at home listening that you're facing a giant right now. Maybe a marital problem, a financial problem, a problem in your health, a problem with your children, a problem at your job. I don't know what it is, but the Lord does. What giant are you facing? I want you to know that hope is here because the Lord is here, and he will fight your battle for you as you seek him and as you trust him. So if you're fighting a battle and you feel like you're an underdog, you feel overwhelmed by that battle, you feel like you're facing a giant and you need God's help, would you stand to your feet right where you are and let us pray with you today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You just talk to God as I pray over us, but you talk to God. Bring that giant to him and surrender it to him and say, Lord, fight this battle for me. Lift up your voices to the Lord, would you? Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God, and we are forever grateful to you that you are our refuge and our strength. We thank you that you are our mighty warrior king. We thank you that you have promised to fight the battle for us as we trust and walk in faith. Father, right now, I lift up before you all of those that are standing here and also at home, Lord God. Father, I present them on the altar before you as we agree together in faith. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them in their inner man, that you would encourage them, Lord God, in their soul and in their spirit. Father, to keep trusting in you and to stand steadfast in faith. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them and that you would fight the battle on their behalf, Lord God. And Father, we are declaring and decreeing victory in each and every one of their lives and over every circumstance that they face. As we surrender it to you in faith today, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you. And we hope you will join us again.